Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Shreveport to Shinnecock, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we, everybody? A thirsty Thursday to you.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Got a good show coming up for you. Today, the World Cup kicks off. In fact, in about 2 hours, the host country, Russia, begins things on the only match of the day to kick things off in Russia for the 2018 World Cup. There's a reason that most Americans that are soccer fans are bummed going into this, and that's because the realization is still settling in that we're not competing in it. A huge, massive missed opportunity for the U.S. men's national team, who had qualified for every World Cup dating back to 1990. So to go nearly 30 years and always being in the World Cup every four. And then now, when the national team should be at its strongest point since we really began, organized, legitimate, competitive men's soccer play in the late 80s, early 90s, there should be no doubt that we would qualify, and yet we didn't because of a slew of events, a perfect storm, and a disaster that many kind of saw coming from down the road. The U.S. men's national team coach, who oversaw the last 9 matches of the disaster of qualifying, including the humiliating loss to Trinidad and Tobago, Bruce Arena, is going to join us here on the show. We'll ask Bruce about his culpability in all of this and where we go from here, and also preview this year's World Cup. Bruce Arena will join us 2 hours from now, so at the start, at the top of the 3rd hour of the show. Also, who needs motivational speaking today? Who needs to feel good about their life? Who needs a little direction or advice? Who needs to hear what leadership is all about? Well, we've got one of the most popular motivational speakers for professional sports teams joining us on the show in about 40 minutes from now. John Gordon is known as one of the preeminent sports motivational speakers. He's worked with the Angels, the Dodgers, the Pirates, the Padres, the Heat, the Thunder, University of Georgia, Clemson, Nebraska, the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Niners, the Falcons. He's worked for Campbell's Soup even. John Gordon will give us reasons to get fired up coming up on the show in about 35 minutes from now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go, big boy. So, all right. As always, if you want to jump in on any of those topics, also, we discuss whether Tom Brady is ruining his legacy based on the t-shirts that he wears, whether USF South Florida is right now just another college athletic hypocrite? Could LeBron fit in Philadelphia? And is Kevin Brown, former pitcher, a hero? All of that coming up this morning on the show. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And watch the show at watchda.com. We begin with the NBA's offseason. Free agency begins on July the 1. NBA draft comes up a week from tonight. A lot of moving and shaking around the NBA's offseason. We know about LeBron. We know about Chris Paul. We know about Paul George. We don't know about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi would be the second biggest potential target out there outside of LeBron this offseason. But is Kawhi Leonard available? Is he a potential target? Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, reporting that right now the Spurs don't want to get rid of Kawhi. And that even though he played in only 9 games this season, and it felt like he and the organization were at odds the entire year, that the Spurs have rebuffed advances from other teams to trade for Kawhi, including the Boston Celtics, who, according to Woj, quote, made a trade offer to San Antonio right at the February deadline, but the Spurs turned it down and never made a counterproposal. So far this spring, the Spurs remain resistant to trades for Kawhi. Can the Spurs salvage this relationship? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Everything was done as a group. I don't feel like nothing was friction. I talked to Pop every day. He knew what the progressions were. He knew what I was doing the whole entire time, as well as the front office. And we made a group decision.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Kawhi Leonard back during the winter. And look, we know how many bridges were toasty over the course of this relationship over the course of the last calendar year. I don't want to say burn because that would suggest they can't go back, but they were definitely toasty. Kawhi Leonard said, "I don't trust your medical staff nor advice." Popovich called out Kawhi's team, his people, suggesting that Kawhi is getting bad advice. Tony Parker suggested he's had injuries 1,000 times worse than what Kawhi was going through. And during the playoffs, Kawhi couldn't even be bothered to be around, following an emotional team meeting toward the end of the regular season where the players, the roster, demanded answers from Kawhi, asking him to come back or be clear about his position and be with the team, and he scoffed and left. I don't think that this is going to be an easy sell for the Spurs to get Kawhi back on board. I think that the Spurs would want Kawhi back on board, and here's why. He means more to them than they mean to him. In San Antonio, since they started this dynasty back in the late 90s, it has been built on homegrown talent that's come through the system and found in many unique ways, unconventional ways. Kawhi Leonard is a star, and you don't, over the course of this run, get stars to sign in San Antonio. It's been a difficult place to draw free agents, even despite the winning. It's a small media market. It doesn't have the glitz in Texas of a Dallas. It doesn't have the coastal attention of LA or New York. It doesn't have the glamour of Miami. And it has Popovich, who is brutal to play for. And you must buy in. And you cannot have an ego. And these days, there's not a lot of players that fit all of those boxes. They got LaMarcus Aldridge there, but that was a disaster early on. Right now, it's been solid. So the Spurs know we can't draw a guy like Kawhi Leonard here. So we need to hold on to him. He's a winning lottery ticket. We found him. We developed him. He was under the radar. We don't normally draft high in the draft either. We need to keep Kawhi Leonard around. We just need him to shake a bad attitude and bad advisors. But we won't get another Kawhi Leonard, or we will wait a long time before we can find another one in a draft situation. So the Spurs know we need him. And I think the Spurs are very resistant in trading him away because they don't feel like they will get proper compensation. And I don't blame them at all. When Kawhi Leonard is healthy and focused, he's one of the best players of the NBA. He could be the best two-way player in the NBA. He's a dynamic defender, a lockdown, shutdown, tenacious bulldog defender, and has developed a scoring ability to go with that. The Spurs know they need Kawhi more than Kawhi needs them, because Kawhi can go a lot of places. He's already won a championship. He can go a lot of places and be the best player on a team, and he will not have to deal with Pop. He will not have to deal with getting his ego bashed in. He will get to be on the coast if that's what he wants. He's been rehabbing in the New York City area if that's what he wants. So the Spurs need him right now, and I do believe they are resistant to trading him unless they feel like there is no other option. They may also fork over a fat contract of $214 million this summer, which is on the table for him. He's not a free agent. He'd be a free agent next year. But they can give him a $214 million extension right now as of July 1. Can he turn that down? The Spurs might have a power play here and say, we can't risk letting him walk a year from now. We can't risk not having him and trying to find another Kawhi Leonard. We'll pony up the $200 million, and hopefully that makes him happy. But that's not the Spurs' way. The Spurs want to make sure he's bought in. So this is still a very interesting and delicate situation, but it does not surprise me that the Spurs are not actively seeking a trade for Kawhi Leonard, because they know we will not get back equal value. Look at what the Cavaliers didn't get for Kyrie Irving last year. You're not going to get equal value for a superstar of that caliber. But this is all about whether Kawhi wants to stay, because if Kawhi doesn't want to stay and tells them, I'm not re-signing with you guys, and I'm walking a year from now, then they're up against it and would have to shop him. And what happens if LeBron wants to play for Pop and with Kawhi? Then that changes the dynamic of the Spurs in a big way. Don't write that possibility off. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, colleges, universities, athletic directors tell you it's about the student athlete. It's about integrity. It's about a higher cause. This is not a business. This is about teaching the young people of America how to be adults. Life lessons, right? This is not a business. Not a business. It's a nonprofit. These schools are nonprofit. The NCAA nonprofit. So it's more of a charity than a business. But we'll take your booze money. That story coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Happy Thursday to you, everybody. What a big day in sports. The U.S. Open beginning on Long Island in golf. The World Cup beginning in Russia. It is a big weekend, a big day, and we're happy that you're with us to celebrate it all.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you can listen to the show whenever you want. It's on demand at iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS, and you'll find us in iTunes along with the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast. That's the show about the show. Brand new one is out. It was released yesterday as Shep and I got into a deep, long conversation about a career in sports media. I don't want to get into too much of this because it might not make much sense to many people. But Dave Shepard, a.k.a. Shep, a former producer for the Scott Farrell on the Bench show, left to become a teacher in the Memphis School District for Teach for America, wanted to help the youth of this country. It was a difficult situation, to say the least. The Memphis School District in the city is one of the worst in the country. It got so bad that they closed down Shep's school. Shut it down. It was like an old USFL team. They just shut it down. It was like the Arena Football League.
Get them out.
One day you've got a school, one day you don't. Crazy. One day there's an Arizona Rattlers, the next day it's gone. So he comes back, and now he is restarting his dream of being an NBA insider. And so we had about a 45-minute conversation about life and about work and about purpose and about what it would take for him to go from teaching to being a nationally recognized NBA insider. So it's all there. It's all baked in. To that chicken pot pie, that is, it's all baked in.
God bless.
Oh, wow, good for her. That's this week's Permission Granted podcast. So, when I look at sports in college, I think you guys know, I love college football. I love it. I just love Saturdays in the fall washing over me. Here in New York City, I am blessed to be around alumni bars of every school. So when Alabama plays LSU, I don't watch it at home. I go watch it at an Alabama or LSU alumni bar. I go watch Ohio State, Michigan with Ohio State fans or Michigan fans because it is off the chain emotionally, dramatically, energetically. I love it. And every year I go to another college football venue I've never been to, I love the pageantry. I love the emotion. I love the bond you have with school. And I love the fact that it happens before these guys end up in the pros. There's something about that. So I'm all on board. And of course, I love March Madness. And I love the NCAA tournament. And having gone to a school like Syracuse, I love college basketball, obviously, as well. But that doesn't prevent me from seeing how ridiculous the whole bit is. Because every step of the way, I hear athletic directors, including my own. I hear chancellors. I hear conference commissioners. I hear people, coaches, surrounding college athletics tell me it's always been about the student athlete and it's still about the student athlete and we can't turn this into the pros. That's why we can't pay athletes. I'm not sitting here right now opening up the can of worms of whether we should pay our student athletes because I realize that is a whole different path. That's an entire different kettle of fish, and that can take us down a road I don't feel like going down right now. But every step of the way, coaches, ADs, administrators, conference officials tell us we can't pay kids because we can't turn this into the pros, right? That is what it comes down to. We can't turn this into the pros because there's something magical about it not being the pros, and who knows what that system would look like. Fine. On surface level, that makes sense. Nobody wants this to become the pros because this is really cool. When it's really good, it's really good. But this week, University of South Florida sells its naming rights to its arena on campus so that the old Sun Dome, formerly the USF Sun Dome, is now called the Yuengling Center.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
I like Yuengling. I really like Yuengling Light. It's a cold, crisp, refreshing lager, especially when it's hot out. I'm a fan. But I'm supposed to believe that we cannot pay kids and we can't figure out, nor do we want to figure out, some type of scale of compensation for these kids beyond, of course, the scholarship, because it's about the education. We don't want it to become the pros, but we are totally willing to sell our campus facilities where sports are played to alcohol companies. I'm supposed to believe that most campuses don't even allow beer to be sold at stadiums. Go anywhere in the SEC, you can't buy a beer, which is probably better off, knowing the SEC fans that I do, but you can't buy a beer. This is about kids playing a game, and those kids playing the game, most of them can't even buy a beer legally. So we don't want to surround the integrity of student athletics with alcohol. But USF can call itself the Yingling Dome, and we're good with this. USF does sell alcoholic products in that arena, and they play at an NFL stadium for college football, Raymond James, and they sell beer there too. This is not about whether or not you should or should not sell beer or alcohol at stadiums. Many schools are taking a long, hard look at that rule because they know it's a lot more money if they do. But this is just the ultimate hypocrisy yet again. Everybody in college athletics tells us we don't want it to become the pros. It's not just a business. This is about educating students. And there's some type of higher plane, some type of higher calling, educating young people, getting them ready for the world. It's a student athlete. That's why they call it the student athlete. Student is first. It's not athlete, student. Student is first. It's the priority. Oh, wait, a beer company wants to sell us, buy our naming rights? Yeah, okay, that's cool. Yep.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
I'm just so sick and tired of college administrators hiding behind the blah, blah, blah verbal vomit of higher plane, higher calling, higher purpose nonsense, and at the same exact time taking money from whoever they can. They don't care. They do not care. Louisville plays in an arena called the Yum Center. The Yum Center. They don't care. They don't care. USF basketball, that legendary program, is now going to be playing in the Yingling Center. I mean, come on, the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. It's a beer company. Although I am told by Mraz it's not just a beer company.
Oh, they make ice cream and good ice cream too.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Get the butterscotch ice cream from Yingling. Your life will never be the same.
Is it like beer flavored ice cream?
No, listen, they don't just do beer. They do the ice cream too. I bet you they'll have a great soft serve machine in that arena. Hefty.
So you're telling me they're known for their ice cream as well.
Not originally. When you think Yingling, you think beer. But those who shop the frozen sections of many local markets will know the ice cream exists, and it's delicious. Mm. Waffle cones on me? Mm. You get a 2-for-7 deal on a pint? Life-changing.
Bogus, you've had the Yingling ice cream?
I have. It is good. It took me a second to make the connection from ice cream to beer.
Yeah, and it's not like beer flavored.
They have a couple. They have a black and tan. They have a root beer float flavor. I mean, they do have a couple of off the beaten path flavors.
But the black and tan doesn't taste like a beer black and tan.
I think it's supposed to.
It's supposed to taste like Guinness?
To me, it tasted like chocolate and caramel, but that's just me.
Okay.
They have butter beer.
So you've tried all of the ice cream.
Again, a lot of times you get that 2-for-7 deal. I'll juggle those things like a circus act.
I'm sorry, what was that, Bogish?
They have a butterbeer flavor.
Butterbeer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it possible, though, that it's... No, it's got to be connected to the beer, right? Because there's no mention of the beer
on
their website.
It's the same company.
It's the same company, same kind of old school logo, same plant, the whole deal. I've looked it up.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he has.
What's the manager special on Yinglings today?
When we come back, we have a motivational speaker who has worked with many, numerous professional franchises and college sports teams before. As a motivational speaker, as a man of leadership, teaching leadership. So we will ask John Gordon, motivational speaker, to give us some words to motivate us in studio coming up here next. And we will also go through Mraz's hit list of what he considers leadership and ask John Gordon whether Mraz does typify a true leader. He's the captain of his flag football team. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As always, you can listen to the show. It's a throwback Thursday. You can listen to the show on all of these CBS Sports Radio affiliates, but also you can check us out on Sirius XM satellite radio if you're outside of your normal listening area. If you're on the move or your local affiliate doesn't carry us, that's okay. Sirius XM 206 is where you can check us out. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Also, I encourage you to watch the simulcast right now at watchda.com because our next guest is in studio. He's a popular author. He's also a speaker on leadership, culture, motivational speaker, has worked with a number of different teams and schools, including the Dodgers, the Pirates, the Padres, the Heat, the Thunder, Clemson, Georgia, Nebraska, the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Niners, the Falcons, and most importantly, Campbell's Soup.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
John Gordon joining us in studio. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah? How's everything with you?
Everything's good.
I saw that you tweeted earlier today some things, or maybe not today, but a couple of days ago, some things that you look at team culture, team concepts, and say these things can be negatives. These things can hurt your teams. One of which being something I've never heard of, energy vampires. I want you to describe, when we think about our sports teams, or maybe our business teams, or the teams that we work in on a daily basis, what would be an energy vampire?
It's a guy or someone who sucks the life out of the room. They're always negative. They're sabotaging the team. They're all about themselves, not the team. Worked with the University of Georgia a number of years ago. Mark Richt was the head coach.
Okay.
Lost the first two games after I spoke to the team.
Uh-oh.
I thought I ruined them.
Yeah.
Sent him a text, "Coach, I still believe in you guys." Send me a text back, "John, the guys are staying positive. They're still on the bus. In years past, we've allowed energy vampires to sabotage our team, but not this year." They put a huge picture of an energy vampire on the wall, and anytime one of the players was being an energy vampire, they took their picture from the media guy and they put it on the wall.
Uh-oh.
No one wanted to be on the wall.
Yeah.
They won the next 10 games in a row.
Huh.
Making it to the SEC championship game that year.
So what type of players are energy vampires? Guys that clash with coaching or clash with teammates or don't give it their all?
Yeah, they're me guys. They're not focused on the we. They're focused on themselves, their own career, their own stats. They bring negative energy into the locker room. So I've seen, for instance, the Rams. Worked with the Rams last year. Sean McVay comes in. No energy vampires. We're going to be we before me.
He's saying no energy vampires.
Yeah, they're saying it. Dabble Sweeney, they say it. Mike Smith, when he was with the Falcons, worked with him for 7 years, said it. Nick Saban is huge on no energy vampires.
Is that right?
Huge. So a lot of these coaches have taken that verbiage from my book, The Energy Bus. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
They read the book and they say, hey, no energy vampires allowed. We're not going to allow negativity to sabotage our team.
Uh-huh.
And it's the one decision that a team can make. That's probably one of the most important decisions. We're not going to allow negativity. Just be positive. Show up every day. Be your best. I was working with a Major League Baseball team. Can't say who.
Okay.
There was a lot of moodiness amongst the team.
Okay.
So I talked to the team. Coach says, hey, we got a lot of moodiness here. I said, guys, it's not okay to be moody. It's not okay. You got to show up every day. Be consistent. Bring your best to yourself and to the team, and you'll get better. Guys were coming up to me afterwards saying, man, we needed that.
Huh.
So it's just reminders that they need to hear.
So if you work in an office, what type of people are energy vampires in an office?
Well, you know that person that's just negative every day and they're complaining, they're venting.
Oh, I think we've heard a few of those around here, huh?
Complaining is like vomiting. Afterwards, you feel better, but then everyone around you feels sick.
That's a good one.
It's
yeah.
true. And it's really toxic.
Yeah.
And so that vampire actually just really brings everyone down. They're the Eeyore of the group. So it takes different forms. Pessimism, negativity. The person's always complaining, never happy. But also the selfish person as well.
Interesting. John Gordon joins us in studio. He's been a motivational speaker for a number of years, written books, author, spoken to a lot of teams. Is your message different when you go to a college team versus a professional locker room?
Same message. I think a lot of these pro teams are starting to be more like college teams, where you see these younger guys come in. The coaches have to develop a relationship with the players now. That's just that kind of player. Years ago when I would go see a team, no one wanted to talk to me afterwards. Now the players want to talk to you afterwards. So it's just a different environment.
Why did that happen? What did that transition?
I think it's the change in the younger people. I think they just want more of a relationship with someone. They want to take a picture with you. They want to talk to you. They're more open to receiving advice. There's just a different mindset. Brad Stevens is a great example. I asked him, hey, do your players want to have a relationship with you? Because so many coaches said that NBA players don't.
Right.
And the players really do.
Interesting. So he found it different. Many coaches thought his players wanted a detachment, and Brad Stevens felt the opposite.
Yeah, no, they want a relationship. So he invested in a relationship with them, and you could see it take off on the court.
Is that because he comes from a college background?
I believe that's one thing. He also, being the kind of coach he is, he realized that today's player is really open to a relationship. The old guard just said they don't want a relationship. They're about the paycheck, and so it's an easy excuse not to develop their relationship. So the coaching change is happening, the style of coaching. We saw Tom Coughlin had to change when he was with the Giants. It's now about the Dabo Swinney model, where you have to invest in your players. I call it love tough. You have to develop the relationship with them, and then you could challenge them. But if you just challenge them without the relationship, it's a lot harder. Nick Saban get away with it, but not everyone is Nick Saban.
But you got to win a lot to get away with it, huh?
He and Belichick are outliers. Most people cannot do what they do. They're outliers in the way they lead, but if other people try to do it that way, it doesn't work.
That's interesting. John Gordon joins us. He's the author of The Power of the Positive Team. We always ask the question why Patriots assistant coaches can't succeed. We always wonder why all these guys come out of the Patriots and they always fall flat on their face. Is that it, that they try to lead like Belichick?
They try to lead like him, but they don't have the success and the same credibility as him. And he can get away with it because of the track record he has. And also, it's the kind of leader that he is. So as a leader, you create your culture. So what are the things that I tell these coaches? When you go and you leave your other coach, you become a head coach, you have to lead your way, your style, develop your culture that works for you. And it's always going to be different.
That's really interesting. Now, if we were just talking about normal business practices, offices, trying to be a leader of your team at work, or your leader of a team, you know, in amateur sports or your rec league or whatever, what's the number one quality a good leader at the office or outside of sports should be?
Optimism, belief, positive. I mean, Dabo Swinney is a great example. You know, when he got that job at Clemson, he walked in, they said, hey, coach, we want to be like Georgia. We want to be like Michigan. We want to be like Ohio State. He was meeting with the board of trustees. He said, I respectfully disagree. He said, my vision is so much bigger. He said, I want to be a program where they want to be like us. That's my vision. So he had this clear, bold, compelling vision. So you have to lead with optimism, but not Pollyanna positive, like real optimism. And then you have to have a shared vision and a greater purpose. So you have to ignite your team towards the vision. Hey, here's where we're going, and here's why we're going there. No matter what you're doing. Doug Conant, former CEO of Campbell Soup, told me the most important thing he did at every meeting was to share the vision at every meeting.
So when you talk to major corporation CEOs, do you feel like they're run like sports teams and vice versa?
The best leaders lead the same way. Dabo Swinney, Alan Mulally, who turned around Ford in 2006, they were losing $14 billion, had them profitable in a few short years, one of the greatest leadership feats in history, both lead the same way. Love and accountability are the keys. I'm going to love you up, but I'm going to challenge you to be your best. We're not here just to have fun. We're here to pursue greatness together, but we're going to have fun along the way. And so it's positivity pursuing greatness together.
So love is interesting because in sports, that's a relatively new concept. You know, when you go back to Bear Bryant, yeah, I mean, maybe there was some unspoken love, but this is not a warm and lovey-dovey era of the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even to the 80s. So how much have things changed in business and sports to where you can openly say, yeah, love is the number one thing?
It's becoming more and more popular, prevalent, and something you need to talk about. Dave Roberts, I'm in his office before the postseason. In walks one of his players. He walks over there, and he hugs the guy. A big giant bear hug for 5 to 10 seconds. They smile, they laugh. The guy walks away. I said, Dave, that's amazing. Tell me about that. He goes, every day he comes in, and I give him a hug, give him a big hug, connect with him. That player, I watched that player hit many home runs after that in the postseason to propel them forward. And so I saw really a first, you know, glance view right there, right in the front row to see what happens when a coach connects with their player and the impact it has. A lot of people wrote that player off. He invests in that player. You see that player perform at a higher level.
That's interesting. John Gordon joins us. He's just released a new book this week, The Power of Positive Team, Proven Principles and Practices That Make Teams Great and Great Teams Great. So I want to run by you, Mraz, over there, because you've had a bit of a chance to catch up with Sean Mraz. He's our executive producer. In some ways, he is supposed to be a leader of those behind the scenes. As the number one producer on this show, he's got other people under him that he can tell, okay, we need you to do this, get this audio, we need to run it this way. What would you advise him to do? How can he execute being a better leader behind the scenes?
I would say be demanding, but just don't be demeaning. And it's okay to be demanding, just not demeaning. I would encourage him to develop a relationship one-on-one with the people that they're leading. So often as leaders, we don't connect one-on-one. I would say, how's your communication? On a scale of 1 to 10, ask yourself, 1 to 10, how well do you communicate? What would make it a 10? And then ask the people you lead, hey, how's my communication? What would make it a 10? Get feedback from them. Be open to them and say, hey, what's it like to be led by me? How can I improve? I do this with my kids, 18 and 20 years old now. What's it like to be led by me? How can I improve as a dad?
That's pretty cool. Now, it's interesting because I actually think Mraz is great at one-on-one relationships. I think he has a lot of guys behind the scenes that trust him. I wonder about work ethic and discipline, though. How important is work ethic and discipline for your employees to see their leader?
Oh, it's everything. You demonstrate your credibility and who you are by your example. The best leaders lead by example. Uh-huh. But I'm sure he's pretty good at that too.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I think he's charismatic, but I do wonder. He's openly talked about a lack of work ethic, and that might hinder you in terms of being a leader that you fancy yourself.
Yeah, I do wonder. A lot of part-timers have followed my lead, and I usually say something when I get stressed out. Like, you have motivational words. The thing I like to say is, get me out of here, you know? And I've noticed a few of the part-timers who maybe have been here only a couple weeks uttering words in the newsroom, get me out of here. And yeah. I'm starting to wonder if maybe I am driving this place into the ground.
So two phrases Mraz is famous for, get me out of here or get me to Friday. Okay, those are two things that he has coined. Would those be good leadership tactics?
No.
Okay. Those...
Great leaders embrace the moment.
Also, he is the captain of his flag football team, okay? So this past week, he couldn't make the game because he had to work. And he then went to the league officials and made up an excuse that was fabricated that half of the team was going to be out of town and they could not play. Is that right?
At a wedding.
He totally created this and fabricated this. Now, he got the game changed to the time that he could end up playing, but is that good leadership when you are openly lying and the team knows it?
No, you have to lead with integrity.
Okay.
All the time. Clemson football, Sammy Watkins, remember you got in trouble?
Uh-huh.
Well, Dabo Sweeney said, I'm benching you. And administration, athletic department said, you don't have to, coach. No, he can play. We need him. Dabo said, if I don't bench him now, it was against Auburn, beginning of the season. A couple years ago, remember, it was like a big game. If I don't bench him now, what does that say to everyone else? He led with integrity. And then 5 years later, wins a national championship. So it may not pay off today, but invest in the root. You'll get the fruit later on.
I like that.
Invest in the root. You'll get the fruit later on.
That's right.
Okay, I got a playoff game Sunday. That's what I'm gonna
right.
sell the team on.
Use that. John Gordon is the author of 5 best-selling books, The Energy Bus, The Carpenter, Training Camp, You Win in the Locker Room First, and The Power of Positive Leadership. And now his new book is out, The Power of a Positive Team, Proven Principles and Practices That Make Great Teams Great. You just released this. I'm sure you're excited about it. How does this book differentiate from the other ones?
This is a book that I wrote so that teams would read it together. Just heard from Sean McVay. He's given this book to all of his players. So I want a team to read it together, say, okay, what do we need to do to be a great team? Power Positive Leadership was about a leader building their team. But if a team reads this, they'll say, okay, this is our framework. And if we follow this framework, this is going to make us a stronger, more united, and more connected team. You'll never have commitment without connection. So the key to any team is, how can we get more connected to be more committed? And this book really shows you how.
That's pretty cool. Now, you can get that everywhere books are sold. Also, your Twitter handle is @JohnGordon11. That's John spelled J-O-N, no H. So check John out on Twitter, @JohnGordon11. What's the 11 for?
11 is a lucky number for me, and okay. Also because John Gordon was taken.
But 11 is a lucky number.
So it's a number, Energy Bus 11. Training camp, my book Training Camp, Martin Ware's number 11. So I put 11 in everything that
I do.
It's
a powerful number.
It's a powerful number.
Two ones. Very cool. John Gordon joining us here on the show. Follow him on Twitter at JohnGordon11. Also, check out his new book, as I mentioned, which is out this week. Definitely cool stuff. It is called The Power of a Positive Team. John, this was a lot of fun. We have to have you give Mraz a motivational speech sometime.
We're talking after this.
Please do. The show could only get better from that. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks so much.
John Gordon joining us in studio. When we come back here on the show, Tom Brady caught wearing another silly T-shirt. What is Giselle doing to this guy? Is he ruining his legacy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.